Hey, America!
Start singing now!
Thank God.
we're officially a movie podcast. So, guys, what's your one word review of I'm Just Ken?
Ken.
Kenuff.
Kenergy.
And I'm gonna say Slot Wave.
And welcome to another Kenuff episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision or possibly movie podcast from America, the country with excellent broth. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. What?
Wait, what?
You guys didn't see that, huh?
I didn't actually watch it yesterday.
That's actually not an Oscar joke. That's
no, for once.
That's an Eric joke. Yeah, for once, about. Eric podcast. So, okay, there's a billboard.
Oh, yes.
That
yes.
displays near where I live in Minneapolis that I am obsessed with. And like, so for years, we have dealt with the scourge of real offer on your home, Chris Lindahl billboards in this town.
Sure, yes.
For years yeah. and years okay. and years. And it's a thing that everyone here knows and no one else knows anything about, which is ridiculous.
You know what?
Anyway,
Brazil, you know, Rio de Janeiro has, you know, the statue of Christ the Redeemer with his arms outstretched.
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine that on every single billboard, except it's just, you know, a dude trying to buy your house.
It's just some guy.
It's some guy.
Going through a divorce.
That's what I heard, was that he got all the billboards because his wife was about to take him for everything, and so he was trying to spend all his money. I don't know if that's true, but I'd like to believe that it's true. It's a long legal process. And the other thing was about that is that there's a new billboard, except there's only one of them, but I'm obsessed with it, and it's for a local grocery store, and it says in really small letters, "From great chicken comes," and then in giant letters, "excellent broth," and then there's a picture of broth.
I just need them to say it in the Spider-Man voice.
With great power comes great broth.
Great broth.
Yes.
Anyway, I love this billboard like it were my only child, and I think broth is good, and apparently when it's from excellent chickens, you get excellent broth, according to the good folks at Lunds and Byerly's, friends of the show. Anyway, that's the joke. We just spent 2 minutes explaining. And speaking of explaining things, Sam hit him with the socials.
Yeah, I mean, some things are just inexplainable. But yeah, you can try. And you could do so by reaching out to us over at 12pointsUSA on all of the standard social media outlets, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can check out some of our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you can support us via a monthly contribution over on Patreon. Whether you support us financially or not, we love you and see you and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Speaking of our Patreons, we have a question that was sent in to us from one of them. So thank you to our friend Jacob Tanner, Woo! Who asks us, "What is your favorite single moment from an ESC winning song?" Who wants to start us out? Does anybody have one just right off the top of their head? I mean, I can start if you need somebody to break the ice.
Please, yes. For the love of God, yes.
All right.
Yes.
So mine is not necessarily from the song itself, but from the winner's reprise at the end of the show, you know, as the credits are rolling and the confetti's falling and the fireworks and all that good stuff. And it was Salvador Sobral.
Of course.
And his sister Louisa, who wrote the song. And she had been basically pinch hitting for him during the first week of rehearsals. He just couldn't be away from Lisbon for too long for, you know, health reasons. And she stood in and did a lot of the rehearsals. And then she, during the winner's reprise, he basically gave her the mic and she started singing. And one, it was a super sweet moment. But two, there was this moment where Salvador was kind of behind her, just kind of goofing, just and just this.
What was he doing again?
The sort of just straight-laced, classic, lovely, broken-hearted song by this frankly very fragile man, and just watching that just sort of break open and just it was just a wonderful moment of just pure joy and Louisa getting her due, because oftentimes we don't see the songwriters really they don't get the credit that they often deserve. So I thought it was just a really very sweet and genuine moment. And yeah, so that's my fave.
Sam, what I'm getting from your description is that Salvador made the sound of Link from The Legend of Zelda falling off a cliff.
Oh, yeah. Or like when he bombs himself or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, loses a couple hearts.
I'm gonna say the fire wings appearing behind Conchita. And that's a visual moment, not a musical moment. I guess we weren't told to.
Yeah, it's just a single moment. It could be visual. It could just be a vibe. You know, whatever you want.
And I mean, I feel like from what you've described, I wasn't super into Eurovision yet when that happened. Sam, I know you were there.
In the press room,
Or when the rehearsals first started for it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you described that as the moment that was like, oh, okay, that's winning then.
Is that fair?
It
was that, and like the first, you know, when we can actually see the screens, like the reveal of who Conchita was. Because at first, you know, that was a very dark kind of stage and kind of moody, and then suddenly, oh, beard. But yeah, between those two, it was,
She's got a beard, 12 points.
Oh, Derek and Danny?
I'll go. I was thinking of something along the same lines as Eric, but for me, it was the moment in 1944 when she does that big note and then the tree kind of bloomed behind her. Because it sort of cemented the visual narrative and it made you think, oh yeah, this is a winner for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of like Rise Like a Phoenix. There was sort of a moment where it all just like suddenly it all just comes together.
Yeah.
And of course they use that on the Twitter page to advertise the show, which I thought was a nice touch.
So good.
It's a good moment.
Yeah. What about you, Danny?
Bucks Fizz skirt rip. Next question.
Oh. Fair enough.
You got me there.
Yep. That's it. Bucks Fizz skirt rip. I don't care about your powerful moments. Shut the hell up, guys. Bucks Fizz skirt rip.
Bucks Fizz skirt rip. Isn't that the dude who's in Doctor Strange?
Hey. I love Twitter jokes from 2012. Yeah.
I know. It's still funny.
Bucks Fizz skirt rip. I love that guy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of other recent like contest clinching moments.
Clinching one, like an alternate one for me, like I was thinking about like just the moment in Fairy Tale when Alexander Rybak like starts going into the fiddle riff and like his bow strings are coming undone and he's just shredding. Like, that's pretty good.
I'm reminded of, I still don't fully get Arcade, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But right before the first chorus, there's a spot where he catches the camera and looks into your damn soul for like 2 seconds. I remember, and also the orb, just pondering my orb, that where I was like, oh, okay, I see why this is so big now.
Yeah.
And it really is that moment when he stares at you like, hey, girl, small town boy, got this orb. What do you think?
That pickup line works so well.
The silhouettes behind Monoskin is such a good visual element. I guess I'm just thinking about like visual stuff. And it's the same thing, the swaying silhouettes in Stefania. And then when the Panini Press crushes Loreen.
when it crushes her.
I may be misremembering
that. You're watching it backwards.
That's interesting. Same staging, but in reverse.
Yeah.
You're stuck on me like a tattoo. Oh, God, I can't. Okay. Good question. Good, really, really good question.
Yeah.
Good question. Thanks, Jacob. Songs again. We got a whole bunch of them again. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to them. Where do we want to start with the songs?
Let's start at the bottom. Let's start with probably the most obvious. Let's start with Sweden.
Sweden? I mean, we were just talking about Sweden. Why don't we?
Swedes.
The Swedes.
Marcus and Martinez, unforgettable. They were sort of the odds-on favorite going into the final. Second place at Melfest last year, am I right?
That's correct. And then they won Second Chance, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they won OGAE, and Eric and I really like them. That was Air.
Oh, that song's great.
It's still on my Spotify liked songs for
this
sure.
song's
unforgettable, evidently.
Unforgettable. I resent them being exactly the same child and being basically the exact same name. I resent their parents, who we've recently discovered are named Kjellarn and Gerd.
We shouldn't laugh about other cultures. We shouldn't.
Yeah.
But
no,
her name is Gerd.
But for the record, her name is Gerd. They're Norwegian, which is interesting. So Norway gets two acts this year. I think the most Swedish act this year might be Bambi Thug.
No,
seriously, they are like half Swedish or something like that, maybe a quarter Swedish.
I'd have to look that up. I wasn't aware.
That's cool, I guess. I just think their names are too similar and it's going to throw me. I think they should have just been named Marcus and Flarkus or just just something. I'm going to ask. I'll look at there. We'll ask. Can one of you just please be Flarkus? Because this is bothering me.
I'll ask them if they want to put on like some baseball jerseys backwards and do crisscross.
And I did look. It turns out that Bambi Thug's father is Swedish, according to Wikipedia. So
All right. Well, if you like Sweden, be sure to vote for Ireland. You heard it here.
Yep.
I've got my word already for this one. Just my one word. This should be pretty quick. And it should be clear what I mean if you people listening out there listened to what we were saying about Loreen last year or about Marcus and Martini. Sorry.
Martini.
Marcus and Mauritius. Marcus and Martini. Marky and Martini. Last year during OGAE. It's the machine. We must worship the machine. We must respect the machine. But the machine is the machine.
Yeah, I was going to say, clinical. It's Melfest. This is what Melfest does. They do, catchy, commercial, solid pop songs that, capture the attention of a nation and often the rest of the Eurovision community as well. So it's not what I personally go for. Like I've mentioned before, I like things a little bit more grit, but I totally get why this did as well as it did. And good for them.
Not a single milli ounce of grit on this bad boy. I have a question. What is the point of Melfest?
Make money.
Tune in next week for what is the point of Melfest.
No, I
it's never going to beat Donald Duck, so what's the
I know
point?
Why even try?
I think we touched on this maybe a few weeks ago, but like there was an entire month of heats of songs that were never going to beat this before we even knew what this was or what it sounded like. This just looks, and I understand it's Sweden, it still looks spectacular. It's still the machine is doing its thing, and I rather like the song. My word is going to be Marcus and
not Flarkus.
So Melfest this year was basically like the entire Republican primary season, like
kind of. I mean what are we doing?
The winner had been crowned a month ago.
We did.
We could say that about Eurovision too, though, couldn't we?
Yeah, many years. Yeah, maybe not for this year.
Not this year, but in a lot of years. Yeah, I mean, I think once we heard Loreen was competing, then yeah.
Could you also say that's Melfest? It's a national final, especially for a country that this year is hosting, but it also may very well serve the purpose that Sanremo does in the fact that it launches songs that are going to be popular on the Swedish market and probably inescapable on Swedish radio and a lot of streaming services for the next couple of months. Like it's just as much a selection show as it is a national song festival, that launches new tracks. I mean, how many of these songs are currently doing very, very well on current Swedish charts?
It's a lot. I don't know the exact number, but yeah.
So Sam, commercial viability.
Yeah. Am I correct in saying that what you're just saying is they will be popular? They will be. Anyway,
I do have to wonder if these guys would have had a shot had they not done well last year. Like, were they just in terms of like, we've seen this in other national finals too. An up performer will come out, they'll do exceptionally well, they won't win, but then they'll come back the next year and they will win because everyone remembers them and remembers that other song.
I think if they had sent it, it's just because Loreen beat them out. If they had sent Air this year, they would have still won. I'll say that.
Oh, no question.
Air would have still won this year.
Yeah. I don't think Air would have won Eurovision, but it would have done damn well in Liverpool. Yeah. I think.
And they are well known, like in Sweden. Mm-hmm.
And Norway.
It's not like, and both, really.
Don't forget, Sam.
No, I mean, like they were just on, The Masked Singer in Sweden, maybe, 2 years ago, something like that. So they're viable. Like they are, people know them there. It's not just, they've won.
Viable, like they're an infrastructure planning project. What's your word, Sam? There you
go. I think a lot of these artists probably do Melfest for the same reason a lot of artists do Eurovision. It's just to get their name out and then kind of go from there. I mean, you don't have to do necessarily well to get a career going.
Yeah, and you don't have to make being. I mean, Eurovision is a moment in time. You can't really make your entire thing about it. Said the podcast in its 205th episode. talking to you, Monzelmelov.
Hey, you know, if you got a good thing going, I don't begrudge.
I like Mons, and I expect we'll see him around in the coming months, would be my guess. And their mom's name is Gerd. Should we do a different song now?
I didn't do my word.
That's right. Word.
Guys suck.
Is yours just going to be an expletive that we can just delete?
Is your word Gerd?
No.
Everybody's heard that the Gerd is the word.
Okay, just to make it simple, I'm not going to call him Marcus and Flarcus, but I'm definitely going to call him Marky Mart.
Marky Mart.
Marky Mart.
Wow, discount. Dollar for two.
It does sound right.
They are a funky bunch.
You guys know how I feel about this kind of music. I'm just going to call it fast food.
It's the country of H&M, and you can tell by their music.
And Max Burger.
Oh, don't come for Max Burger. It's a McDonald's burger and a Burger King fry.
Interesting.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's go to the most refreshing country possible. Let's go to Portugal.
Ooh.
That would not describe my time there as refreshing, but okay.
I just mean in terms of song.
We had two semifinals leading up to a final in Portugal. It was the 60th anniversary of Portugal's first participation, or their first Festival de Canção. And so they were making a big deal out of this. They had a whole bunch of, you know, special guests and, you know, whole big thing. And at the end, winning top points with the domestic jury and coming in second place with the public vote, but still winning overall handily, is Yolanda with Grito, or Scream, I guess is the best way to translate that, which is quiet and subtle until it's not. And my word for this, or my phrase for this, I should say, is slow burn. That it kind of, it's smoldering, slow burn. It just kind of builds, and it doesn't punch you in the face, but it still grabs me by the lapels.
We've got so much to get into in our preview episodes, so we can't say too much, but like, Sam, this is like your number one right now, isn't it?
No.
When I was listening to this for the first time, I was like, this is so Sam.
I've definitely considered my word just being Sam.
Just being Sam. My word is Oasis, though. Like, and I think it's just because maybe just this spate of songs when they were coming out, but they're all bangers. I think the feel of this year is very banger dominant. A lot of flash, more so than in past years. I don't think that there's a lot of musical variety or volume variety. And that's what's kind of really refreshing about this song. Objectively, we can say that this is, no matter where you put this song, it will feel like you're going to the bottom of the trough of a wave. It's going to feel like a big contrast in a good way.
Oh, cripes. This is semi-one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Balls. All right. My word is classy. I don't think I need to explain that. I think we got it.
Yeah.
Derek?
I was actually going to say classy.
You can say classy.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because the visuals, I don't feel like really match what the song is.
And to me, I like it. It's very, this dancing is like very jerky and it seems to fit, but like it's a very intriguing staging.
I'm really curious to know what kind of the story behind that is, but it's...
I feel like it's like a primal scream, really.
Yeah, I guess the word I go for is just complex, just because I feel like there's more going on than I'm aware of right now. And again, I haven't dug into it much, so maybe there's nothing beneath the surface. But, you know, with Portugal...
You know it's Portugal. You know they wouldn't.
No. There's always kind of this rich history and this story behind their music. Like, they're a country that... There's a handful of countries. I think they genuinely put a lot of thought into what they do, whether or not the rest of the continent goes along with it. But I think at this point, I'm really intrigued to know more.
What country are you picking out of the bag of wonders then, Danny? What's the next one?
I was just going right up to the top. You know, let's reverse alphabetical order of what we had this week. So Greece. It's Greece time. Greece is the word, I've heard.
Sick.
Not GERD.
GERD is the word. All right. So Marina Sati was Zari or Dice. This was an internal selection. We knew it was coming. She had been announced as the participant a couple months ago now. But yeah, we finally got Zari this past week. Who wants to start us off?
I'll start on this one because I went last. I'm just going to say charming. I don't know what it is about it, but I was watching the video and I'm like just happy and enjoying it. And I know it's kind of a female bop, but the package as it's presented in the video anyway, it's just so fun. I'm curious what the staging on this is going to be like.
Yeah, what do you even do?
I feel like
female bop is really understating what's going on in this song.
Yeah.
But I understand what you mean. I'm going to say silly. It's silly. and that's I'm so glad. So we've had a lot of weird stuff, and then things were getting normal again, and then this song came out, and we're like, cool, we're back to weird. Thank God. Because this is, I feel like, and you just get this sense that the people making this video are having the best time of their lives doing anything. And you can just sense that. And I love that about it. It's silly. That's my word.
Mm. Having the best time making a music video for like $200.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And they overlaid the phrase 12 points, which I appreciate.
Hey, I was going to say for this one, I was going to say inviting, because even though the song itself is crazy and sort of hodgepodge of things, and it's a little bit breakneck and a little bit of whiplash of what's going on here, it still is done with so much joy, and it feels so inviting, just both to wrap yourself in the song as well as this video. Like, how are they gonna transfer that vibe? Because you can't take the entire, you know, placa and just, you know, plop it on the stage. And you know, there's only so much souvlaki that you can grill on one stage in 3 minutes to hand out to people in the audience. It's so Greek and so very particular, but it's still very, very globally inspired at the same time. I just want to have fun with it. Yeah, I just want to go to the taverna and just party with all these people. It's just joy.
I have definitely been sold on the concept of Greece. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Not that I was like, I don't know, but like really, like it just, you want to make your country seem fun. This is what the postcard should be, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Every year.
For every country.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Bulgaria's back here. Let me show them Greece.
Coming up next is the United Kingdom. Here is the Parthenon and some more souvlaki. And
the Acropolis where the Parthenon is.
Yeah, here's Yanni. And that's it. That's all I know. Can you imagine if Yanni was in that video? Like they just walked past him or something. I need to go back. He might be.
He might be.
Yeah.
Shaved off his mustache.
Danny, what do you think?
So my word is Double Dare. And because, you know, at the end of Double Dare, how, you know, it's that insane obstacle course and everything is 90s Nickelodeon colored and everyone's getting messy and running everywhere and there's fast music and it's just Mark Summers yelling at you the entire time. And it's amazing. That's what I mean. That's how this feels. It's just 3 minutes of, if you're watching the music video, especially a wonderfully silly, weird visual onslaught. But also the song also sort of has everything, keeps adding new stuff and is just constantly like pumping and weird and wild and silly and fun. Yeah, this is it's Double Dare. What's the name of that final round? It's just like the obstacle course, right, Eric? What is
that? Super Double Dare,
ultimate Double Dare obstacle course. That's what it is. Anyway,
this physical challenge.
Who knows?
The aggro crag.
I gotta look this up. Oh, it's GERD.
It's just called the final round. It's just called the final round.
Okay.
Great.
Oh, I'm weirdly disappointed.
So I know. To Georgia next?
Yeah, me as well. Yeah. Nutsa Butaladze, or just Nutsa to her friends, I guess. We knew that she was selected again a couple months ago. Finally, we got her song. It's Firefighter. Familiar names on the songwriting panel, including Darko Dimitrov, who has done a lot of work with a number of other delegations, both at junior and senior Eurovision. Very well, you know, a lot of good stuff from his catalog. And yeah, the Georgian song is one of his. Who wants to take this?
Eric does.
I kind of don't. I'm having a hard time coming up with impressions for this. A few people I know are like, oh, this is an absolute banger, and I've already forgotten it.
I'll start then. My word, or it's two words. It's the translation thing. Which we talk about. I don't think I have anything against the music here, but it has that translation thing into English. You know what I'm talking about. You know, there's nothing like grammatically incorrect here or anything, but it's just like some of this just doesn't make sense.
Just a little bit of a linguistic kind of Uncanny Valley kind of thing.
I'm going to rise from the ashes like a firefighter. It's like, well, okay, if a firefighter is coming out of the ashes and they're alive, good, that's good. Okay, that's good. But that's like not what a firefighter does, though. Like, you get to the end of this song and you're like, wait, why the hell was it called firefighter?
Don't you remember when Conchita Wurst sang about rising like a firefighter?
I thought you were going to say when
we Conchita just Wurst talked about that at the start of the show.
When Conchita Wurst had the oxygen tank on and the double layer leather gloves. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, like, I will say it is a bit of a choice to literally use the phrase, you know, to the imagery of Phoenix rising from the ashes.
She does.
At Eurovision. That is a bit of a choice.
It's been 10 years. Who'll remember?
I mean, musically, it's fine. I think it's, you know, going to definitely give a lot of the fans what they're looking for. Like, we knew that it wasn't going to be a ballad, and it's just going to be a big-voiced, female-fronted, you know, pop bop with messages of empowerment and, you know, overcoming obstacles that we knew that was going to happen. It's solid. It's solid.
What's your word then?
Solid.
Solid.
Okay. Solid.
I guess I'm going to have my word be bop question mark. Because I remember, again, I this just dropped, basically. I listened to it once and I remember just kind of being like, oh, okay, it's one of these. But then I saw some posts online from friends, and Liz sent me a note that's like, oh, this is really good. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I need to go back because I'm wondering if I missed something somehow. But like, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Get your Eric was wrong shirts.
Yes. How many will they have to wear to Mama this year?
It's cold. I hope it's a lot. Yeah. You can get it. You can get it in long sleeves if you need. Just buy it. Just buy it. You know,
it's
sales pitch.
Just buy it.
I do find it that a lot of the sort of female led power bop, you know, like dance break, a lot of them have ended up in this second semifinal. Like We Will Rave is in there. Austria, Czechia, Greece, I guess you could say Malta, now Georgia. You can argue San Marino has a bit more of a rock edge to it, but still has.
Yeah.
So is it going to
energy? The energy in semi two, it's all the way at the top. Imagine if this has to follow, you know, Rum De Dum Dum to We Will Rave. Like, ugh.
This is in the second half. This is in the second half. So, it could easily be sandwiched in between, you know, Estonia and Europapa. Like, who the heck knows?
And Ulvaham. Holy crap.
Ulvaham.
Wow.
This one looking good, I'm wondering.
Belgium's in this half. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, second half, second semi is. It's a big. It's a big one. And then. God, in Switzerland. This year's wild.
This is wild.
There's so much cool stuff this year. There really is. That's great.
All right. Well, I'll just get my word really quickly before we move on. I only listened to this once today. Haven't really dug into it, but my thought was when I first heard it was, this is very straightforward. That's not necessarily a good or a bad thing, but it just kind of feels like with everything else crazy going on, I feel like George is like, nope, let's just right down the middle, not do anything too crazy.
I think it's fair and accurate to say that this is not too crazy.
Not too crazy. That's the review you want.
It'll be interesting once we have all the scores and everything to look back and be like, okay, well, which songs did well this year? The weird ones or the normal ones?
The normies.
Why won't you just be normal?
Salvador falling off a cliff.
Yeah.
Mixing the metaphors now. All right. What else we got? We got Australia and Sam.
Yeah. We do.
Sam, it was that thing we said.
Ah, very, very happy.
Yes. Eric was right.
Eric was right.
We don't return your Erica's wrong shirt.
Oh no! Wait!
You're wrong about something else. Don't worry. You know what? Maybe we should do like a pair of socks. One saying Eric was right, the other saying Eric was wrong, or something like that.
And remember, Eric was right up. Foot goes on your left foot.
I like it. But yes, electric fields. One Mikali or one Blood. Internal selection. Honestly, I've been hoping for them for years. Thrilled to see them finally get their shot. It's fantastic. You know, 2000 and whatever was a really, really high watermark. I'm not sure if this absolutely hits exactly that height, but I think it's still engaging. I find it still fun. I love what they serve. I love their back catalog, and this absolutely fits in with that. Whether other people respond to it, I don't know, but I am thrilled that it's there. And I can't quite think of a single specific word for it.
How about Ken? You thought I was going to say GERD, and then I didn't.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The linguistic nerd in me, I'm thrilled to see, you know, not just, you know, a new language, but Yakuncha Chara, which is possibly now might hold the record for the language spoken by the fewest people to have any representation at Eurovision. I, you know, I'm not counting imaginary languages, of course, but
just
I mean,
3 bees.
It's,
do you know how many bees there are? That's probably the most spoken language.
Yeah.
Language of
zillions,
dance.
Really. But Yakuncha Chara really. Yeah, Yakuncha Chara really only has about 600 native speakers today.
Oh, wow.
So for it to get its moment is really, really incredible. There, you know, it has other mutually intelligible languages in that same kind of language family that are, you know, that
is
are more
like
widely spoken.
Aboriginal Australian?
It is.
Okay.
And it's the one spoken in the hometown of Zachariah Fielding, the lead singer, who is from Mimili, I think is the name of the small town, up in the traditional APY lands, up in the northwest corner of South Australia. So basically, small town, middle of nowhere.
That is the actual middle of nowhere. Holy
yeah,
cow.
It is. It's, yeah. So I'm thrilled to see this representation there.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Derek, what's your word so we don't forget again?
Oh, man, what was I going to say? I'm just going to say this because I love this word, didgeridoo, because it's on there.
Yes, you didgeridid.
I think it's wild that they're, somebody pointed this out, that we're getting an Aboriginal language before we get Gaelic at the contest.
Oh, we've had Gaelic before. It's just been since the 70s.
Been a while. And I think it's wild to see how much representation we're getting from Australia in terms of their music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a song that's like very, very indigenous inspired, so much so that I can't find work in the cities. Yeah. That, if you know anything about
it, we're just letting that hang.
I'm just going to let you marinate in that one.
You know what you guys did.
You know what you can use to marinate is excellent broth.
Don't marinate a broth.
Am I misremembering this? Wasn't there didgeridoo in Mata Hari or in Cleopatra? Or is that just some electronic drone?
Who can even tell anymore?
I mean, I think there was some droning, especially in Cleopatra. I mean, vocally, the Lotus Sutra, you know, that thing that they have in Azerbaijan, that is, I mean, that sounds kind of like a didgeridoo, but it's a human voice being tuned down a lot or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I will forever defend Cleopatra, though, for the record.
Okay. All right. Well, what's your word?
For the record, my word, my word for this is hooray.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I think it is super fun in a sort of triumphant way. I'm so glad that they are finally here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so glad that I love Australia's approach. I love the way they do things. I think the presentation for this is going to be nutso futso.
Mm.
And what is this, semi two? Did we establish?
Australia is in semi one.
Oh, crap. Well,
second half of semi one.
Well, best of luck next year, I guess. But I do worry that this is going to come across as like inaccessible, that it's just, it's not, it could just not make sense to people. But you know, but the thing is, I know that Australia doesn't care. They're sending something authentic and cool and cool, and it is something really to be proud of. And I love this choice. I love this approach. I think how it does is secondary to that, to an extent.
Danny, have you
I can't get in too deep, but because preview shows will bear this out. I have no idea how you've come to this conclusion, Eric, because this song comes off to me as extremely similar to Belgium last year in a very good way. Like, this feels like a bop to me. This feels like my word is 90s core. And it's like, it feels very 90s core. It has 90s instrumentation, sort of like a dance. Like, I don't, maybe it's because I like this song so much that like, I am not seeing how it would be possible to not like it. But
I've heard comparisons to Gustav, and
you have them, good, because I think
and somebody valid. Said that if they can tap into that audience, they could do exceptionally well with this. But again,
the gays,
yes, the gays, those people,
those people. God,
yeesh. I do find it really interesting though that we have a music video that was launched with Zachariah and Michael, the two halves of Electric Fields, being very static. It's literally just them from like chest up, just singing the song. And yet, having seen their live performance at the national final a couple of years ago, we know that they are very magnetic, especially Zachariah, when, you know, you saw the performance and, you know, prowling around on the stage and just absolutely owning it. So to see the launch of the song be so static, I was kind of surprised to see that approach. And I'm wondering, like, what ace do they have up their sleeve?
So doesn't Zachariah dabble at least, or does Aboriginal art?
Yeah. Award-winning visual artist, yeah.
Oh, so actual. We have a few visual artists this year. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But I heard that he's going to be doing some of the staging artwork, kind of in that style. I think that sort of the dot picture paintings, and I'm like, I'm really excited to see that because I think that's going to be really cool.
Very, very excited to see how this develops. All right, we had the long-awaited release of the new version of the song for Albania, Titan, it's now called. It's been translated into English, previously called Zemrendor. Bessa has released her new version. What do we think of the revamp of Titan?
It's fine. I thought it kept its feel quite well. It does have some of that same languagey business, you know, because it is a translation. We've heard both sides of the translation too, which is always fascinating and sometimes horrible. But I thought, saving my opinion on the song itself, I thought that it made that move, that transition from Albanian to English, pretty effectively. That's a pretty well done revamp. If you're going in that direction, that you're gonna like, oh, I'm singing in English. Nah, I assume that's how it went.
So your word,
English.
Okay.
No. I can do better than that. Well executed. I was impressed at the again. Not necessarily the quality of the song, but the quality of the effort in the reworking. Mm-hmm. It feels like it wasn't phoned in or anything like that. Like I was pleased.
Yeah, my thought was kind of a similar vein. Like there have definitely been Albanian entries in the past that have gone through the revamp and the translation, and they've ended up feeling kind of neutered. You know, kind of the wind is taken out of the sails a little bit. Like most notably for me, going from Perale to Fairy Tale, which would have been 2016, I want to say. You can also say One Night's Anger, you can also argue, may have sort of lost a little bit when it went from Albanian to English.
I like that one.
I liked it too, but it just didn't quite hold the same oomph. I know that when Bessa had announced that she was going to be translating the song, there was a bit of a, you know, some social media blowback. And again, if somebody breathes on social media, there's generally a blowback at this point. But, you know, she kind of said, you know, I've had months to consider the song and ponder on it and work on it. And it's not the same song as it was back in Tirana. Like this, you know,
Tirana in Ontario, Canada. Yeah. I've never been to Tirana. God, that's stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just own it. So, I mean, part of that evolution it came with the language change, but it also came with, there was some structural changes as well, and the production changes, and the message changed as well. I feel like the original was a lot more of a, you know, brokenhearted woman, and now this is a bit more, you know, Phoenix rising from the ashes, a lot more with the self-reliance aspect of it. So my word is going to be evolution.
That you can starring really David see how this Duchovny, movie yeah. podcast.
Starring Julianne Moore, please.
Okay.
Starring Orlando Jones, please.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go. That's there right. We go. Make 7 Up yours, guy. Among other things.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. All right. Derek, Danny, what do you guys think?
I'll just say new and improved. It's sort of an echo of what you guys have said. I think this is objectively better than the previous version. That's what I'll say.
I'd have to listen to them side by side. I'm not quite sure, because it felt to me like a completely different song, at least in my initial impression. Mm. But I think the thing that struck me the most when I listened to the English version is, despite the fact that it's in English and I don't necessarily think the lyrics are stellar, it still felt very Albanian.
Yes.
I'm going to go with authentic. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't confuse this with any other country.
Yeah.
For sure.
A couple that are gone. I think this could have passed for something. If you would have told me this is like, ooh, it's a really good song from like North Macedonia, I would have.
Yeah, won. I'd buy it as like Normac.
It's very much of its region. Okay. This is not a Polish song. Like,
yeah, even though they switched to English, I like that they still kept a lot of their cultural influences. Mm. And I appreciate that. I feel like Albania gets a lot of respect for being very authentic. And I don't think they should be switching to English. I mean, I don't necessarily think that improves it most of the time, but
In this case, artist choice, dealer's choice, I guess.
Yeah, that's up to them if that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can understand the temptation to do it just from a like competitiveness standpoint. But you're right. I don't know that it necessarily makes the songs better. I realize I mostly just complimented like the thoroughness of the change and not necessarily if they made the song better or worse. I don't really know. They're different enough that it might be hard to engage. Yeah. Well,
may as well rip the Band-Aid off here. Yeah, there was one more song that was released this week. So let's talk a little bit. After much hemming and hawing, the Israeli entry Hurricane by Eden Golan has been accepted by the EBU. It has been released. We're not going to give too much focus on it.
We're not doing one words on this, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, frankly, it'd be impossible even if we tried. Yeah, so this is a discussion that we've had, the four of us, off camera and off mic. It's a decision that's not too dissimilar from what other organizations in the Eurovision press sphere have done. If you are looking for more information on the song, it is certainly out there. It's certainly available. The song's been released. You can make your own decisions and have your own thoughts. If you want more information on the situation in terms of the song's place at Eurovision, a friend of ours, Elaine, has done a wonderful thread on Twitter. Eric, do you have the handle?
I think it's just Scattermoon.
Yeah, at Scattermoon.
Yeah, if you're looking at this and asking like why is it there? Or something like that. Elaine has a thread that kind of goes over the particulars of that in really good detail. It's quite interesting. Like so many other things related to this, we'll say.
Gestures at everything. Yes.
Yeah. It is more complex than you think. Whether or not that should be the case. Again, we're a very fun, silly podcast, and there's just sort of a no-win sort of situation trying to cover this. It's tough. Yeah.
This is basically our stance, and we're hemming and hawing about it. But that at the end of the day, this is our stance. We're keeping things simple, factual. The song is out there. Mm-hmm. It's called Hurricane. You can listen to it on streaming platforms if you so choose. You cannot if you also choose. Mm-hmm. That is your decision and that is your choice.
Yeah, we're not going to change anyone's mind on this anyhow. And I think the only other thing I'll add is everyone, please take care of yourselves. When this news hit last week, I had a really, really awful couple of days just trying to wrap my head around everything. And Elaine's thread that we mentioned was really tremendously helpful. Again, it's at Scattermoon on the Bird app, the former Bird app, I guess. Really, it kind of does a good job of kind of explaining how we got here and everything. But I also, speaking of Twitter, I had to log off for like 2 days. And I'm just, if you're listening to this and you're struggling, if you're angry, if you're anything, your feelings are valid, but take care of yourself. Try to be nice to each other, because there's so much just awfulness. And as individuals, if we can bring some kindness into this community, into the world, then that's a good thing to do. But do what you need to do, everyone. It's not easy, and this is just weird
for
all of us, and this is what we're gonna do.
Thanks for bearing with us as we kind of muddle through and figure out what is the right fit for us as a podcast. Again, what you listening at home may decide might be different than ours. That's okay. That's you do you.
Mm.
We will not stop anybody from liking what they like, disliking what they dislike.
Yeah.
You know, this is just what we spend our energy on. And I think we've spent a decent amount of energy on this tonight. So shall we move on to what we are looking forward to in the next week? All right. So at time of recording. So after all of that, what do we have to look forward to over these next couple of days? The
Azerbaijan.
The head of delegations meeting is going on right now, as time of recording. This is, you know, Monday, March 11th in our time zone and in our spot in the space-time continuum. So entries have all been submitted to the European Broadcasting Union. That doesn't necessarily mean that they all had to be released right now. So we have still not heard the songs from, Armenia and Azerbaijan. Nothing, nothing to worry about there.
We've got Ladanova.
Ladanova, I think it is.
Oh, Ladanova, okay. All right, let me try this other one.
Also the name of a car.
It is the name of a car, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Guy Fieri from Azerbaijan.
Ooh. which is weird, and because with Azerbaijan, like, they had been making this whole big thing about, okay, we had the short list of six, and then we narrowed the short list down to a really short list of two. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be the trio? Is it going to be ISIL? Surprise, it's neither of them. It's somebody from the six list. So, Fari for Azerbaijan and Ladanova for Armenia will get their songs at some point. I'm sure the two delegations are probably just playing chicken with who's going to launch first and who gets the absolutely useless title of last country to launch. I don't know. We are also expecting revamps imminently from Malta and potentially Czechia as well. Aiko did mention that they were that she was going to be doing a revamp to Pedestal. And we knew that Loop was going to be redone in Malta. So we'll get those soon as well. In other news, again, it's the head of delegation meeting this week. We have official confirmation. There was a little bit of hemming and hawing before. Iceland is officially going to be participating at the contest this year. They also did the random draw for the first act, and much to our amusement, Sweden will be opening the final.
Is there going to be any sort of video footage of Sweden drawing their number and just getting to see like the looks on their faces and like the curb music starts playing when they hold up the number one? That, like, honestly though, this is a, like, you want a fun, energetic thing that's not going to win, and that's exactly what this is.
That's
exactly what I have to put it.
And there are some gigantic staging things. So, like, from a tech level,
mm-hmm.
having this go first is probably kind of nice for a small number of people. But for them, it's really great. So that's cool. It is kind of funny.
It's a really good choice, especially because they're hosting too. They get to open the show.
Totally.
It's mm-hmm. almost as if it's not actually random.
Oh,
no, I'm not. Oh, I'm not. Gosh. I'm not.
Don't
I'm not
go I see. I see. Join our conspiracy theory podcast, Help Us for America. It's now movies, conspiracy theories, and a little bit of Eurovision.
That's a treat. Yeah.
Other updates from the head of delegation meeting. We have word that the automatic qualifiers are not just going to have clips of their songs shown during the semifinal. They will actually be performing in full, mixed in with the running order. It's not going to be like, okay, here's all the songs, and now here are the other three. They're going to be like mixed up in there.
Now,
the interval act.
I think that has everything to do with the voting change, too.
Yes, which was going to be the next little bullet point that I have. The voting mm-hmm. changes are in effect. Instead of being open from the end of the songs, voting will now be open from song number one, which might tamp down on some of the recency bias of, oh, this is the last mm-hmm. song that I, you know, who knows?
But I think the idea is if you have watched both semifinals, basically you will have seen all of the songs for once, even from the Big Five and the host, you will have seen them performed live once. So when the big night happens, when the grand final is actually going, you can just vote right away.
I still don't think you should. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The thing is that, like, the vote, the viewer count of the final is very different from the viewer count of a semifinal. You can't always assume that the semifinal viewers.
Oh yeah, I know.
Are the same crop.
Just think, if they'd waited a day, they could have framed this as good news. Now you can vote for Sweden sooner than ever.
Like, that seems like an odd coincidence.
I think I mostly like these changes. I hate that they are doing the performances in the middle of the semi-performances.
Yeah, I think it should have been at the end, just the same.
Yes, yeah, you should have it at the end so there's no confusion about what you can vote for. That just seems completely unnecessary to do this in the middle like that. I mean, I guess it kind of gives you more options for, like, up and down in terms of vibes, maybe. But I think these have to, if they're not competing, they should be separate. Like, I love that they're being performed. That part's great.
That's great. Yeah.
It's
weird.
Yeah. I mean, think about, like, the first half of semi one or the second half of semi two, these things that are so loaded with stuff, and then be like, also, here's France. You can't do anything about it, but here it is. Like, I don't know.
You can have a little France as a treat.
It's kind of weird. I guess it's weird. I don't know that I love the voting timing window thing either, just because it does help songs earlier in the running order, but it seems to me that you would want to have the entire gamut of songs available to you before you decide who to vote for. And I know what they've said is, okay, but they've all been performed in the semis. But Sam, as you just said, a lot of people don't watch the semis. So I don't know.
Yeah, or they only watch the semi that their country is in. Yeah.
I am curious to see. I didn't have time to look into it today. I will try to get to this. Maybe we'll talk about it. We're starting previews after this week, so maybe it'll be a while. But maybe when we get to Malmo, we can look into it more. They've done this before with the televote being open for the quote unquote whole show. Yeah, that was in 2010 and in 2011. 2011. Two years where nothing went wrong. And I'm curious to see, because I feel like this definitely has to have some impact on what we understand about running order.
It's going to be very interesting to see.
I don't know.
Another change to the voting, which really specifically affects us.
Yes, finally.
The rest of the world voting will now have two full separate voting windows to accommodate all the different time zones that are watching from around the world. So one will be during the show, as usual, like everybody else voting, but one will also open after the second dress rehearsal, what used to be called the jury show. You'll basically have almost an entire day after the end of the second dress rehearsal, the night before a live show, and closes just prior to the live show. So that is certainly going to benefit those of us who have watched these songs on YouTube, have seen clips that, you know, the Eurovision gods have been kind enough to bestow upon us. It's, you know, just a larger window of time. It honestly almost seems like they're maybe taking a page from Junior, where they have a larger voting window for the international viewers. So thanks.
Hooray. Junior wins again. there is another bit of this. They're really, really burying the lead, sort of, that's saying that there is another announcement coming and that it's apparently great. And because this is here in the past, before whatever this is has been announced, I want your wildest guesses of what this announcement is going to be. My guess is they will finally allow livestock on stage.
Rim Tim Taki Dim indeed. Wow. Okay. Oh,
yeah. Game changer for them. Let me tell you.
It's
whoever unfortunately has to go right after them. Oh, ooh, that's good too.
It's the return of Monaco.
A surprise contestant.
Yeah. They come back now.
That's Monaco's music. Okay, jokes aside, I wonder if this is going to do with potentially running order, if they're going to experiment with random running order again. I saw one person suggest, and I think this would be interesting, online voting.
You mean not through app?
Possibly. Or through the app, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, another thing they could take from Junior's playbook if they were to allow online voting in some form or another. Obviously, the what is it, up to 20 times? You get 20 votes from any particular phone number currently. Is how that so. Goes. It would be a pretty big change if they were to do something different with the online. Obviously, there are other security things there that they'd have to be very, very prepared for. But I wonder if there could be something like that. I don't know.
Could it be the livestock
thing.
Could it be potentially a total revamp of the voting system, and it might be goodbye to the 12-10-8 system? Mm. Who knows?
They did say that there isn't going to be a change to the way points are revealed.
Okay. So that probably isn't that.
So then. Like they're not going to try that everyone on stage and we watch everyone's heartbreak thing that they experimented with.
Quickly Come Dancing thing?
Or Christ. Yeah. Or like anything with like the way that the dialing into each country and each person has a representative, like how Marcus and Flarkus did that for Norway a few years ago, they're not going to change that. That part's going to stay the same. And God, I love that part. I really do. It's the most exciting way to make numbers move on a screen. It's captivating. Mm. And I'm glad they realize they can't get rid of that. But I guess it could also be we don't know. Or no. I think this also did confirm that it's still a 50-50 jury televote split.
Or pretty close to it, considering the rest of the world vote slightly tips it in favor of a televote. Vote, I should say. I keep calling it a televote, but you know what I mean.
It doesn't seem like they're changing that. But it's going to be so disappointing. It's going to be like, oh yeah, we're also going to be sponsored by Lavazza.
I'm okay with that.
Oh yeah, that would be fine. But it's like, oh, now there will be an egg on stage. Like,
your votes brought to you by Pepsi Max.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the only logical conclusion, there's only one logical conclusion. ABBA reunites as like a Gundam.
Mm. Oh!
Like Power ABBA.
Wow, yes. Mecha. Some sort of Mecha ABBA.
Abazord.
Abazord. Yeah.
I mean, I was just going to say they're going to allow nudity on stage, and I'm on board for that.
John Cena.
There you go.
Hey, and we're a movie podcast again. Anything else that we want to have on our agenda for this episode?
Yeah, in Madam Web, I really thought.
Oh, shut up!
Hey, there were two Madam Web jokes at the Oscars.
I know. Can you believe it?
Two.
And on that note, everybody, you know how to reach
us. Level of number of Madam Web jokes.
God.
You can complain to us on social media at 12pointsUSA. Just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. You know how to reach us. We love hearing from you, especially if it's nice stuff. We do appreciate it. You know how to reach us. We look forward to chatting with you. Our next episode will be the start of our review episodes, which we're really looking forward to. We've got some fantastic guests, some you've heard before, some you haven't, but it's going to be fun, and we appreciate you taking the ride with us. So... see y'all next week. Until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I was muted.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening.
Stop listening now.
But first, here's France.
France!